The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
We continue with Simin Yud, Hilchos Tefillin, the laws of Tefillin. We're up to Sif Ches. Also, lehafzik besicha. It is forbidden to interrupt with speech between putting on the tefillin of the hand and the tefillin of the head. Now, there are two reasons why this is true. One reason is because the bracha of lehaniach tefillin, to place the tefillin on the arm, put on the tefillin, that we say before putting on the shel yad, before putting on the hand tefillin, is not only a bracha, a blessing, which is for the hand tefillin, rather it's a blessing for the head tefillin also. That really, the way our custom, Ashkenazi custom is, as the Kitzur explained to us earlier, we say two blessings on the shel rosh, on the head tefillin. First we say the bracha lehaniach tefillin, which covers the shel yad and the shel rosh, it covers the hand tefillin and the head tefillin. And then we put on the head tefillin, we say an additional blessing of al mitzvah tefillin, which is a second blessing going exclusively on the shel rosh, on the head tefillin. And for that reason, that one is not allowed to interrupt between the blessing, between the shel yad and the shel rosh, between putting on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh, because if one does interrupt in the middle, then he is interrupting between the blessing and the performance of the mitzvah, since the blessing is also going on the putting on of the shel rosh of the head tefillin. But there's another reason that the Kitzur is going to teach us in this sif, that we learn from the way the pasuk describes the putting on of tefillin, that the tefillin are supposed to be put on together. And that we will see in this sif. So also lahaniyah lahafsik is forbidden to interrupt besicha with speech between putting on the hand tefillin and putting on the head tefillin. And even to hint with his eyes, or to motion with his fingers, also it is forbidden. It says in the verse, it should be for you for a sign on your hand, and for a remembrance between your eyes. That we understand the verse to mean, that when you put on the head tefillin, you have to remember that the head tefillin should be put on immediately following the hand tefillin, in order that it should be one, havaya means the verb to be, there should be one existence, one being, one putting on of the two tefillin together. They should be done as one, should be placed as one. And therefore, one should not interrupt between the putting on of the two tefillin. Even if a person hears Kaddish or Kedusha, Moyasiki should not interrupt to answer Amen or to answer Yehesh Merabba or Kaddish, 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 any of the responses that are normally said by the congregation in the course of a Kaddish or Kedusha. One should not interrupt. He should be quiet. He should have kavanah, he should intend, focus his mind on what the congregation is answering, and he should fulfill his obligation of answering, of saying those responses by listening to the responses of the congregation and fulfilling his obligation that way. However, if you hear that a person said the bracha, the blessing of the haniach tefillin, somebody else is putting on tefillin, and you are in the middle, you are between your shel yad and your shel rosh, and the person next to you is putting on his tefillin, and he says the blessing of the haniach tefillin, it is permitted to answer amen, because behold, amen hu ha'amanas ha'devarim, amen is acknowledging the truth of the words being said. Shehumamin b'mitzvahs tefillin, that you are believing, you are acknowledging the truth of the commandment of tefillin, that Hashem commanded us to put on tefillin. And since this is what you're doing, you are in the middle of putting on tefillin, and you're acknowledging, yes, I believe I accept that we have a commandment to put on tefillin, so that remains one putting on of both tefillin. It's not considered an interruption, and you should answer. You could answer amen. The tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, if a person has the custom to put on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, which one does not say a blessing when he puts on those tefillin, Gam ken also lahasik ben shalyam shalroish, is also forbidden to interrupt between putting on the hand tefillin and putting on the head tefillin, even though there's no blessing, and therefore the first reason mentioned earlier does not apply, because you are not interrupting between the blessing and the putting on of the head tefillin. However, this concept that they should both be put on together, havaya achas, that still applies, and one should not interrupt. Ach, like kaddish, like kedusha, however, to respond to kaddish or kedusha, yochel ahasik, you are able to interrupt in a situation where you are not saying a blessing. Sif tes. Im tov v'hifsik, if a person made a mistake and he did interrupt, yemashmesh b'shalyad, you should first move the shalyad a little bit, the hand tefillin, v'yivarech shenis l'haniach tefillin, and then you should say the blessing a second time of l'haniach tefillin, v'yachazik es hakesher, and then retighten the knot of his hand tefillin. So it's as if he's putting it on now. And afterwards you should put on the head tefillin, and you should say the blessing upon it of al mitzvah tefillin. But if the interruption was for the purpose of the tefillin, you do not have to say a second blessing on the shalyad. You just continue and you make the blessing of al mitzvah tefillin on the shalosh. So for example, if you have a question, if your tefillin are valid, you put on your shalyad, you took out your shalosh, and you had a halachic question, you went to the rabbi to ask him, that would not be an interruption, and you'd be allowed to just continue, say the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin, and put on the head tefillin. Sif yud. Yechavein behanochas tefillin. A person should have the following thoughts when he's putting on tefillin. Shetzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Holy One, blessed be He, Hashem commanded us, lehaniach tefillin, to put on tefillin. Shneish behem arba parshiyos, they have four paragraphs, four parts of the Torah written in them, that in these parashas, in these portions of the Torah that are written in the tefillin, it is written the concept of the unity, the oneness of Hashem, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Exodus from Egypt, which shows us the concept of the oneness of Hashem. Al-Hazariah k'neged ha-lev, you put it on the arm opposite the heart, on the head opposite the brain, that we should always remember the miracles and the wonders that he performed for us when we left Mitzrayim during the Exodus, that they show, they teach us the fact that Hashem is one, that the oneness of Hashem, and that they teach us that Hashem has the strength and the dominion in the upper worlds and the lower worlds, in the sky and in the, on the ground, on the earth, to do whatever He wants, as we saw from the plagues in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. And we subjugate to Hashem, to Him, our soul, which is connected to, which is in the brain, and also we subjugate our heart, which is the main seat of our desires and our thoughts. We are subjugating that to Hashem. But then, through this, we will remember Hashem, our Creator, and we will lessen, we will limit our personal pleasures, and we will fulfill the verse, and a person should not stray after the desires of his heart and after what he sees with his eyes. And that is why it says in by the commandment to put on tefillin that you are supposed to put on tefillin between your eyes. That's to remind you that that should prevent you from straying after your eyes. These thoughts are all included in the Hiratzayim, which is printed in the Siddur. Before putting on tefillin, it is a good idea to say at least the first part of the first portion of that Yehiratzayim, which covers all of these ideas, so that you will remember all of these concepts when you put on the tefillin. Sifir Aleph. Tefillin shel yad v'shel reish, shtei mitzvotein. The tefillin of the hand and the tefillin of the head are two independent mitzvahs, two independent commandments, meaning ve'einan ma'ak v'zu azu, they do not hold, one does not hold back the other. That means that it's not an all or nothing halacha. The mitzvah is not, you either wear both or you don't wear any. Rather, shim ein lo yalachas, if you only have one of them, ayshemach mas eze oynes, or because of some uncontrollable circumstance, eino yachal haniyach alachas, he's only able to put on one. For example, he's wearing a cast up over his entire arm, he can't wear tefillin. Or for some reason he's extremely sick and he can't put tefillin on one of his arm or his head, whatever the situation may be, that he can't wear tefillin. Meniach achas, he just puts on the one he's able to. In meniach shel yad, if he puts on the hand tefillin, mevarich lehaniach tefillin levad, he just makes the one blessing of lehaniach tefillin. V'meniach shel reish, if he puts on the head tefillin, mevarich lehan lehaniach tefillin v'gam al mitzvah tefillin. He says two blessings. First, the blessing of lehaniach tefillin, and then the blessing of al mitzvah tefillin, as we explained earlier, that the way we, Ashkenaz and Paskin, we follow the opinion that one is really supposed to is normally reciting two blessings upon the tefillin shel reish. When he says the blessing laniach tefillin before putting on the shel yad, that covers the shel reish also. And therefore, if you don't have the shel yad, you have to say two blessings on the shel reish. However, since that is subject to a dispute, other opinions hold that in this type of situation, where you only have the shel reish, you would only say the blessing of al mitzvah tefillin, not the blessing of the haniach tefillin. Therefore, v'ayimah, one should then say afterwards, Baruch Shem Kivayd Machusoy Le'olam V'ed, blessed is the name of the honor of his kingdom, forever and ever. As we explained earlier, since there is a possibility, according to some opinions, that this is a blessing that has been in vain, so one should recite the formula of Baruch Shem that one recites after having recited Hashem's name in vain, so that he gives honor to the name of Hashem, which somewhat rectifies that problem. Normally, you're not allowed to say, if you have a doubt whether you're supposed to say a blessing, you do not recite it and say Baruch Shem. But in this case, we really feel strongly that the main opinion is you're supposed to say the blessing, but to acknowledge the other opinion, we say Baruch Shem. Sifir Beis. Iter Gomer, someone who is a complete lefty, he's completely left-handed. Even if he became a lefty because he accustomed himself to doing things with his left hand, he accustomed himself to be a lefty. Still, since he is a lefty, he does, that is his dominant hand, he is supposed to put the tefillin on everyone else's right hand, which is his left hand, meaning which is his weaker hand. A lefty's right hand is his weaker hand, and that's the hand he puts on tefillin. But if a person does all activities with his right hand is predominant when it comes to all other activities. Just that he writes with his left hand. Or the opposite, that he writes with his right hand and he does other activities with his left hand. The hand that he writes with is considered to be the right hand. And he puts the tefillin on the other hand, which is considered the weaker hand. And there is a great this particular issue of how to define who is a righty and who is a lefty is somewhat of a gray area, a difficult issue among the Paiskim, and therefore one should really ask a Rav if he is unsure whether he is a complete lefty or complete righty. It's best to consult with a Rav. If a person is ambidextrous, then he puts tefillin on everyone's left hand, meaning on the left hand, even though it's not necessarily his weaker hand, because both his hands are equal. So he follows the way everyone else does. Most people do it. The majority of people are righties. They put tefillin on their left hand. He too should put tefillin on his left hand. And so too, if he was not born a lefty at all, just afterwards, he accustomed himself to write with his left hand, but he really does all of his other activities with his right hand. In that situation, the fact that he writes with his left hand is irrelevant. I mean, yeah, b'smol shel kol adam, he puts the tefillin on his left hand, but again, one should really consult the Kabbalistic halachic authority before deciding which hand to put your tefillin on. Sif Yud Gimel. Shir Reichav HaRetzuais, the size, the measurement of the width of the straps, Bein Shel Reish, Bein Shel Yad, both the straps of the head tefillin and the straps of the hand tefillin, Moy Pachos Me'erech Sa'irish should not be less than the length of a barley, which is about 4 or 4.5 millimeters. The Shir Arkan Shel, and the measurement of the length of the straps, Shel Reish, when we're dealing with the head tefillin, Mi'min u'mi'smael, both the right side and the left side, I mean the straps start off behind your head, and then you place them over your shoulders and they hang down in front of your body, one over your right shoulder and one over your left shoulder. So both straps, whether it's from the right or the left, ad hatabur should be at least until the navel, a drop above the navel, and that is the length they should be. The Yeshua, remember, there are those who say the shel tzad yamin, that the strap on the right side, tagia ad hamila, should reach minimally until the place of the circumcision. The chaynachin lahach milachatchilan, so it is proper to act like that. The optimal way to do it is to have your strap, your right strap, to be at least until the place of the circumcision, and the left strap should be until the navel. The shel yad and the tefillin of the hand, they have to be long enough, kideshia hadka, so that you should be able to tighten the tefillin on your arm, your upper arm. And then you should be able to wrap the strap 7 times around your forearm. The gimel kriyches al etzba, and also the 3 windings around the middle finger. The echazka, and then tighten it, be able to tuck it in so that it doesn't become undone. And this, the Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree and say that you don't have to have, the strap does not have to be long enough to actually do the 7 windings. While there is a custom to wind it 7 times around the forearm, it seems from the Mishnah Berurah that it's the minimum length would be enough if you could tighten it and stretch the strap to your middle finger, wrap it around the middle finger 3 times, and then make sure that it doesn't become undone. That would be sufficient if you're stuck. Continues the Ketzer. The Nifsika Ritzua, if the Ritzua split, it ripped, Bein Shel Reish, Bein Shel Yad, and whether it's the Ritzua of the Shel Reish or the Shel Yad, the head or the hand fill, and Yasa Shela, you should consult a competent halachic authority for guidance. Sif Yudalit. Yizal, you should be careful, Sheyu HaRitzua is Bitzad HaShachar L'chutz. The Ritzua is of Tzilin, have to be black, but only one side of them has to be black. And commonly, we find most ritzuis on the market, most straps on the market, and one side is a shiny black, and the other side is the neutral color of the hide. And the black part is supposed to be facing outward. The Miran Lashon is Hapcha HaRitzua, Shesaviv Reisha, Shesaviv Zirayai, Bitzan Hamavim L'chutz. If it happens that the part of the strap which surrounds the upper arm, the part you need to actually tighten the tefillin, or the part which is around the head that tightens the, that keeps the tefillin up on your head, if that part became turned over, that the white side became visible, instead of the black side being visible, yisana, one should fast, or yifte bitzaka, or you should redeem the fast by paying money instead of fasting. If the rest of the straps became turned over, one does not have to fast. However, it is proper to try to make sure that the strap is, the black side is facing up along the entire length of this, of the ritzuos, because that is hidden mitzvah, it's beautification of the mitzvah to see the black part and not the underside, not the white part. V'chein, and similarly, if the tefillin fell to the ground, b'loy natikon, without their protective covering, without their case on them, you should also fast because of that. If the tefillin fell while they were in their protective case, he is not required to fast. Rather, you should give some amount of money to tzedakah, to charity, and that will be sufficient. He is not required, however, to fast. Sif Tesvav. If a person removed his tefillin, because he has to go to the bathroom, and one is not allowed to wear tefillin in the bathroom. Therefore, that separates his original blessing from the next time he wants to put his tefillin on again, because it was severed. There was a break with it, that he was in a situation where he could not wear his tefillin. Therefore, kishachayzer meinichum, when he puts him back on again after coming out of the bathroom, sarich lachzer levarichalem, he has to repeat the blessing upon his tefillin. If he is standing, in other words, he is in the middle of davening, he's in the middle of praying, and he is up to the middle of the blessings before or after saying Shema, he is already started the blessing of Yetzer Or Vari Chayshech, he who created light, which is the blessing, first blessing before Shema in the morning, and he's further, anywhere between there and Shemayne Esrei, and the Shemayne Esrei prayer. You should not interrupt the brachas of Kriya Shema by saying the blessings on the tefillin. You should put them on without saying any blessings. And after the prayer of Shemayne Esrei, you should move the tefillin a little bit. You should say the blessing upon them. First, you should move the shel yad and the hand tefillin. Say the blessing of the Haniach, retighten it a little bit, then move the head tefillin, say the blessing of Al Mitzvahs, and retighten it a little bit. Sif Tes Zayin. Kol Zeman Shat Tefillin Olav, as long as the tefillin are upon a person, Lo Yasiach Daita Mihem Klal, he is not allowed to remove his thoughts from them at all. Chutz, except Mi B'Shas Tefillah Shmona Esrei, except when he is praying Shmona Esrei, he is not supposed to be focused on his tefillin, he is supposed to be focused on the words that he is saying. While he is learning Torah, he is studying Torah, he is not obligated to be focused on his tefillin. He could focus on the words of the Torah. But otherwise, he has to keep his mind on his tefillin at all times. Another halacha. Also, le'achol behen sudas kavod, is forbidden to eat a fixed meal, meaning a complete meal, while he is wearing his tefillin. Aval achilas arai, but a temporary meal, meaning it's like a snack, Mutzen lechol, that is permitted to eat, behen, while you're wearing the tefillin. It is not considered degrading for the tefillin. The misha, and to sleep, afil and shina sarai, even a temporary sleep, even a little nap, also behen, that is forbidden to do while one is wearing his tefillin. Sif yadayin. Chayiv adam lemashmesh betefillin bechol shah v'shah shenizka behen. At any time that you remember your tefillin, you should touch them. That through this, you will not come to a complete removing of your mind from the tefillin, because you keep touching them. So every time while you're in the middle of davening, while you're in the middle of praying, not during Shemoneh Esrei, but you're in the middle of praying, and you remember you were in tefillin, so you touch them at intervals during the davening or during the day, if a person wears tefillin throughout the rest of the day, you should touch them every once in a while so that you keep your mind on the tefillin. And you will not have a hesach hadas, you will not have, your thoughts will not be removed from the tefillin. The imashmesh techilin b'shal yad, a person should first touch the hand tefillin, the achakach b'shal reish, and afterwards the head tefillin. Umidag yafin is a nice, a beautiful custom, imashmesh behen, to feel that, to touch the tefillin, kishemazkir mitzvasan, when you mention the mitzvah of tefillin, you mention the commandment to put on tefillin, the kriyashma, when you say kriyashma, you say when you say the words, and you should tie them as a sign on your hand. In mashmesh b'shal yad, you touch the tefillin shal yad, and you give it a kiss. You give your hand a kiss. When you say the words, they should be for tefillin between your eyes. They should be for tefillin between your eyes. In mashmesh b'shal roish, you should touch the hand tefillin v'noishik, and you give your hands a kiss. Sif yudches. There is a principle in halacha that one is only supposed to rise when it comes to kedusha, to elevate the level of kedusha, of holiness, and not to go lower. In context, this means that a person, if he has to do a number of commands, he should always strive to start from the lower level of holiness and go up and up. Or if you have an object that was used for holiness, it cannot be changed to be used for something which has less kedusha, only something which it can only be used for something of equal or greater levels of holiness. Therefore, tefillah shel reish, something with the head tefillin, kedushasa gedayla mishel yad, its holiness is greater than the hand tefillin, for two reasons. Lefi sheyesh badad batin. First of all, it has four separate compartments to put the four separate portions of the Torah in them, whereas the Shalyah, the hand tefillin, only has one large bias, one large compartment that you all four parashiyos are written on it. The Gam HaShin, it also has the letter Shin written or emblazoned on the outside of the tefillin Shel Reish, which is one of the letters of Hashem's name. The Shalyah, the hand tefillin, does not have any letters of Hashem's name actually on the box itself. And therefore, the kedusha, the holiness of the Shel Reish, is greater than that of the Shel Yad. For lachein, therefore, ritzua shahaisa, the Shel Reish, a strap that had been used in the tefillin Shel Reish, and the head of tefillin, also ma'asaisa Shel Yad, you're not allowed to take that strap and tie it onto your hand of tefillin, because that's a lessening of the holiness of that strap. It used to be more holy that it was part of the tefillin Shel Reish. You have lessened its degree of holiness by putting it on the tefillin shel yad, and you're not allowed to do that. Avo mishel yad, but if you have a strap that was used for your hand tefillin, mutar la'asaisa l'shel reish, you're allowed to turn it into a strap for your head tefillin, because that's a raise in the level of kedusha, which is perfectly okay. V'chein, similarly, ritzua shel yad, the strap of the hand tefillin, shenifsika l'mamla itzla kesha, it ripped towards the top of the strap near the knot, and the knot of the tefillin, which has a letter of Hashem's name. As we mentioned earlier, the knot of the Shel Yad is shaped like a yud, which is one of the letters of Hashem's name. And therefore, the part of the ritzua, the part of the strap, which is closer to the kesha, which is closer to the knot, has a higher level of kedusha, has a higher level of holiness. So if the strap ripped towards the top where it's closer to the knot, the ritzua l'hafcha, you want to turn it over, turn it around, that the part of the strap which used to be by the knot would now be by your fingers. Also, that is forbidden because you're lowering the kedusha, the holiness of that section of the strap of the ritzua. Instead of being by the knot, it is now going to be by your fingers, which is a lessening of the kedusha. And rather, you have to retie the knot and that end of the strap that had been severed, which already was closer to the kesher, closer to the knot. The chayin, and similarly, so too, b'ritzua shel reish, when you're dealing with the straps of the head tefillin, also ma'afaych ma'ashahaya b'taycha kesher, sheyeh chutz l'kesher, you're not allowed to turn the strap, change the strap in such a way where the part of the strap that had been within the knot, between the knot and the tefillin and the box itself, the part that kept the tefillin on your head, will now be outside that the knot and hanging down, because you're lessening the kedusha, the holiness of the strap. And that may not be done. You have a pouch that you made with intentions to keep your tefillin in it. And you also used it at least once to keep your tefillin in it. You're no longer allowed to use this pouch for a mundane purpose, for a non-kedusha item, for example, to keep your money in it. Because since it was used for a davar shebikdusha, for something which is holy, it may not be used for something which is not the same level of holiness. So you cannot use it for a davar shechun. If one would like to see more information about topics that have been discussed in this year, one can look on the resource page at the website kitzer365.org.